Welcome to Respect Life Radio. My name is Deacon Jeff Bennett with Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Denver. And remember, you can listen to all of our shows at respectliferadio.com. Today, our guest is Brian Feger. He is a scientist and medical writer. He earned his doctorate in physiology from the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. He is a member of the Knights of Columbus, serves as a high school catechist, and is part of Yoke Fellows Prison Ministry. And after experiencing the loss of three children from miscarriage, he feels called to let other dads know they are not alone. And you're a co-author, Brian, of a book called The Grief of Dads, Support and Hope for Catholic Fathers Navigating Child Loss from Ave Maria Press. And Brian, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me, Dean Jeff.
You know, and you can tell, I know you wrote this with Patrick O'Hearn, who we had on the show a couple months ago, and with Redbird Ministries. And so everybody has experienced the loss of a child, which, you know, is kind of, it has to be one of the most difficult things any parent could face. But your particular focus is on dads. And maybe you can talk a little bit about, you know, how you guys got together and thought, you know, we need to write a book about this.
Thanks for that question. It is, you know, God's providence. I met Patrick at an Opus Dei men's retreat one Saturday, and we just started talking, and somehow we ended up on the fact that both of us had had miscarriages, and then formed a bond immediately. You know, kept the friendship going, and had planned on at some point promoting you know, child loss and healing that we had experienced, particularly from our friendship. And for me, having another man who had experienced that loss and knew what I was going through was extremely healing for me. And so eventually, our friendship, we found Redbird Ministries, and Ryan and Kelly invited us onto a podcast one time, and we were just talking about child loss from a dad's perspective. And afterwards, we were discussing the fact that there's just really a lack of resources for men. The types of child loss resources that are out there are really geared towards women, and just felt called to do something, and all of us agreed that a book would be a good start, and it'd be a great resource for Redbird, and just to get something into the atmosphere for the man.
Just so the readers know, and I would highly encourage people to pick up this book, because it's not only just to help men, but it's helped to see things from a different perspective. But I mean, you're talking loss from miscarriage, stillbirth, losing a young child. I mean, there's suicide, there's accidents, there's adult children. So, I mean, sometimes when we think of, you know, we've lost a child, as a parent, they're always our child, no matter how old they get. And it really, when you read, and I think there's, 10 or so stories in here, you can really feel the pain, not to mention the stories of the authors, yourself included, and the challenge and just to marriage and everything is. But you know, I like the way you guys focus on the male grief piece of it, because like you said, I think fathers, you know, whether it's Father's Day or anything, right? It's not the main focus, and not that it needs to be, but you kind of talk about in the beginning some of the differences of male grief, and maybe you can kind of cover that. I know you start off early in the book, but maybe just as a reminder to people just how different men and women are.
Yeah. We start off with, you know, examining male grief, basically the research, and, you know, really across loss type, like you said, from miscarriage to adult child loss, there seems to be, you know, these pervasive characteristics of male grief, and men seem to have a delayed grief relative to women. And usually that's because they're focused on providing care and support for their wife. And so they delay their grief and, you know, focus on the wife. There's also, you know, a cultural sense, at least here in America, for men to be, you know, more resolute, strong, stoic, and, you know, in those situations. And, but also it can tend to be delayed because men feel isolated, and that's also because of a lack of resources from the medical community, lack of resources from their friends who you just don't know what to say or how to reach out because it's such an unnatural loss. And, you know, people don't really understand the type of suffering or grief that accompanies such a loss unless they've had a loss themselves like that. And then men also just don't know where to go. They either, they don't know how to ask for help in those situations because, you know, again, it's new, it's a natural, and there's just, you know, the lack of resources. So they don't know where to go. And so, you know, those two concepts are very pervasive across the types of loss. And then also just a questioning of their fatherhood. Men, you know, when they lose the child, and I mean, I know this particularly from, you know, miscarriage and friends who've had a young child loss and stillbirth, but, you know, the fatherhood is questioned from, you know, what am I supposed to do now? Or, you know, this idea of the child, you know, me parenting them and fathering them into adulthood is now gone. What am I supposed to do? You know, how could I, you know, maybe I could have protected my child from the loss and those sorts of things. But those are really the main concepts that we see in male grief.
You just hit an important point, I think, right? We are all, you know, as husbands and fathers, unfortunately, we don't see it as much as we should today. But, you know, we're to be providers, protectors, right? Leaders of the faith within our family. So there's got to be some sense of, did I do my job as a protector well enough, right? What, and you mentioned earlier, what else could I do? And so men are wired that way. Unfortunately, society has kind of feminized them to a certain extent. But in reality, mm-hmm. this is who we're called to be. And how much does that play a part in, you know what, do we feel like we failed potentially?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, that failure is traumatic. And the PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, is highly prevalent in this type of loss for, you know, those multiple reasons. And so let's say, you know, the child died from a sickness, then, you know, the father's going to be triggered by his other kids if he has any to their sickness, you know, and extra worry given over that. Or, you know, any other circumstance, it's a big problem that's hard to deal with, and it really takes a community to help the father out.
So, from people who've read the book, and maybe from your wife's perspective or the wives' perspectives in general, is there any kind of aha moment in terms of, wow, you know, I've never really thought about it from the male perspective?
Yeah, I think really just that. That delay of grief, because the woman is grieving earlier, and so they don't see their husband grieving like they are, and so they may think, well, you're just not grieving, like, why? Yeah, and they get upset about it, and this seems to be well characterized as well, that you know, that there tends to be this rift in the marriage that, because they're not on the same grieving wavelength. And I think the book can be very helpful for the women to understand that the men are having a delayed grief, that their grieving is different. It can act out more differently. That's one thing that can become noticeable, that, you know, when the father starts putting more energy into hobbies or work or other things, that is the way that he's grieving. It may not be the healthiest, but that's it. But it allows the woman to recognize that, oh, he's just, you know, he's not just staying away. You know, he's grieving, and, you know, let's try and grieve together. And which is really important, because it's also known that, you know, child loss can greatly devastate a marriage. The likelihood of a couple become divorcing after a child loss is much greater than the normal population. And so for couples to understand that the grief isn't just going to impact them individually, it can impact their marriage, devastate their marriage, that, you know, if they can recognize that, then they have, you know, the ability to to fix that, right? Or not let it unravel.
Listening to you and reading the book, it is something that we need to be aware of, because, you know, the evil one is going to kick us while we're down, right? He's going to play on our minds where, you know what, we don't need to show grief. We need to be a man, and we need to do this thing, and it's your fault. You know, the blame game and the isolation game really become a reality if we allow the evil one to kind of whisper in our ear and follow that path. And, you know, you talk about in the book, you have, you know, the loss of children from dads throughout scripture, and you have examples of saints, male saints, who have lost children. So you really do remind us that this is nothing new, but we do have to be on guard for the evil one to really pounce when we're at our weakest moment.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, what comes to mind is Job. Right. Job lost. He's in there, and he lost 10 children, you know, all at once. And, you know, getting into more of that healing aspect. But Job just stayed very centered on our Lord, which, you know, in the end was very healing.
We mentioned Redbird Ministries in the beginning, and maybe you can talk a little bit about them and how people can access them, because they have a lot of resources that can help people that are struggling with the loss of a child.
Yeah, that's right. Redbird Ministries is led by Kelly and Ryan Bro, who were in support of the book, and out of Lafayette, Louisiana. And they have plenty of resources for all types of child loss. And they've helped hundreds and hundreds of couples during the time that they started. They're looking to enter into different dioceses with ministries, basically, like, you know, weekend retreats, other talks that can help couples particularly. They really do focus on couples who are grieving together, like helping them grieve together. And they've got a website that you can go to at redbird.love. That's just redbird.love. And there's a wonderful couple who experienced a couple of losses. They've had miscarriage and infant loss. And the way that they've used that to support others is really unbelievable. Many couples who've gone there, and they have couples retreats, they have women's retreats and dad's retreats. But they've got a tremendous following of individuals who have lost, couples who have lost and found healing.
You know, it was interesting in the book, because you do put some stats in there in terms of, you know, the millions of children that are lost to miscarriage a year, tens of thousands of children that are lost either early in childhood or later in childhood, the number of young adults and adults that are lost each year. So, you know, it isn't that everyone has experienced this, but it isn't rare either. I mean, it really affects a lot of families each and every year, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, definitely. And that's one of the things that was most helpful for me in finding healing was, you know, other men who have experienced it, because, you know, kind of circling around this idea of the male grief being isolated, but you feel very isolated. And I think more as a man, because, you know, the man isn't talking about it. So he's not finding that community that can be healing for him. But yeah, it's an event that happens for many, many individuals, many men, and, you know, finding that support can be healing, like I said.
Well, you know, a lot of times it's unfortunate, but way too many people think, you know, if I have faith, then my life should go smoothly. And it's exactly the opposite, right? If I have faith, then it will help me handle these difficult and sometimes tragic situations that happen in my life. And so when we view faith from kind of a prosperity gospel point of view, there is no rhyme or reason to it. But when we understand about the cross, it does make sense, doesn't it?
Definitely, definitely. And again, you can point to Job, you know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And, you know, saints throughout history who've talked about the, you know, that suffering is really an indicator of God's love for you. It's a mystery. But yeah, without the cross, the suffering really doesn't make any sense. You know, there's no redeeming quality to it. And Joseph Pierce, who's a well-known author, I think, by most people, he had child loss, and his story is here in this book as well. And I think one thing I pulled away from his story was that he said he never felt closest to the foot of the cross except when his child died. And I think for any of the men that I've talked to, that rings true to them as well. You know, the event is catastrophic enough. You feel like you're just at the foot of the cross at your lowest point. But in that, you know, with faith, not that, you know, things are going to be easy, but, you know, it can provide some sort of orientation and, you know, a guide to, you know, the resurrection.
How did you come up with the personal stories, from these, I think, 10 individuals? How did you find them? And, you know, how willing were they to share their story, wanting to help others?
Yeah, Redbird was really influential in that, just because they have the contacts of couples who have reached out to them over the years, and all the men were very willing to provide their stories. Some of them had already started writing up their stories or had posted their stories elsewhere, and I think mainly for a lot of them, it was healing in writing their story. I know that was the case for me. And so through a lot of those contacts, some of the contacts that Patrick had as well, we were able to talk with the guys and have them write their stories. We, you know, kind of tried to frame it for them, you know, just give them prompting questions so that the stories, you know, had a similar theme of, you know, what happened and, you know, how did you suffer? How did you grieve? And how did you come through your grieving?
Well, and I think it really does come across when you show that and provide that. And I think, you know, there's a real tendency when we're going through a period of desolation, and I can't think of anything that would put us there any faster than the loss of a child, right? Then to start giving up things in our life, our prayer life, going to mass, doing different things like that. And one of the rules, spiritual exercises, when you were in desolation, don't change anything, right? Don't start making any big decisions. Don't change our faith and how we practice it, because it's easy to get in that spiral to really pick up speed, isn't it?
Yes. It's really important to, you know, keep things simple. And yeah, like you said, if it's just maintaining your prayer life, not trying to do anything too big, and we provide resources that, you know, sometimes it can be hard to think in those situations, and you get cloudy. So we've provided resources that we've found, you know, the contributors in the book and ourselves, the authors, have found particularly useful in those times. So there's scripture passages, and then there's also different books that have been helpful for us.
Well, and I think, you know, the way you laid out the book is, you know, you kind of talk about your own stories. You get into, you know, what's going on with the saints. But really, you know, towards the end of the book, you have spiritual reflection and prayers for people who, you know, like you said, they can't think, but they can see that, and it can help guide them. But there's also that interesting section where you have really have people examine their lives to really, you know, almost do an assessment on where they are, a screening to make sure that they're not in a place so deep that they really need professional help.
Yeah, and I thought that was really important, because the three screening questionnaires in there are clinical questionnaires, you know, used by clinicians to examine depression, anxiety, and PTSD. And they're not diagnostic in any way, but they're there to help the person understand that, you know, if you're scoring at some level, that, you know, maybe you do need clinical help, right? And if you are experiencing or thinking of any self-harm, you need to ask for help right away. But, you know, in the situations that, you know, some men need clinical help, that's okay. There's plenty of, we would suggest Catholic psychologists and others that are there to help. And so not only is it that practical aspect, but we thought that was important because it's really easy as we've come through the healing part, which is really founded on our spiritual practices and the grace of God, that it's easy to talk about that. And so, you know, the book could easily have just, you know, moved into that singular direction of, hey, you know, you're just going to come through this because if you just, you know, keep praying or do what we did, that you'll find healing. But that's not the case for everybody. And, you know, some men really do need more clinical and professional help, and that's okay. And so they won't know how to seek that out themselves. They may not seek that out. And so by providing these questionnaires in the book, that gives them a starting place. And also we have a letter in there from a clinician, Jonathan Sumter. And, you know, he's seen many men who have lost children and just to talk through it. And, but he provides great wisdom in that everybody's lost story is unique. And so you know, no dad out there who's experienced loss should be comparing his loss or how fast another dad has healed, if he has, to his own story. Because, you know, each one is unique. And so if that dad needs extra support, that means professional help, then, you know, he should definitely feel open to do that. We encourage him to feel open to do that.
Well, and I think that's an important, and you brought it up, right? Everybody grieves differently. So even if you're a man, not every man grieves different, the same, and same with women. But one of the challenges men have is sometimes we tend to be too proud, right? We don't want to ask for help. And that can easily lead to self-medication, which can really lead to even more catastrophic results, right?
Yeah, there's, you know, plenty of cases of men who are grieving, who their outlet is, you know, can be more damaging, you know, alcohol or just, you know, it can damage the marriage by, you know, staying away from the house because of the house is triggering. And, you know, there's that aspect of it. We encourage more of the positive experiences of, helping overcome the grief, but, you know, that grieving can also lead to physical changes. You know, the amount of stress that a father can experience can really lead to, you know, the known causes of stress induced physical changes. So, you know, not the grief is multi-pronged, right? It hits socially, it hits physically, and it hits mentally. I think it's to understand a way out. You know, we have to understand where we are.
Well, and I think that's really the, you know, one of the most important things that we seem to have lost is kind of a self-awareness, right? We try to measure up against other people, do, you know, view ourselves from a different, you know, in the way society should see us, but we really just need to really be self-aware. If we need help, we go get help, right? Be open and speak to our wives. This really seems like an opportunity to not only deal with loss, but really be able to look at ourselves as objectively as possible so that we don't become overly proud and we don't let the evil one kind of get us in a corner and off by ourselves where we kind of wall ourselves off and really make a bad situation worse.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think, you know, that can kind of lead us into more of the positive ways to get out of it. You know, we provide some, I guess, advice, if you will, in there of ways to help and assist in the grieving as you understand your situation and, you know, what may be helpful for you. But, you know, many men have experienced great healing from Mass. having your child buried, but then having like an annual child loss mass at your parish. My parish has started doing that, and I've recognized the number of men who come out of there, and you know, I'm able to talk with them because I'm there with them, and they just feel great healing from experiencing the Eucharist in that setting. And I know for me, the Mass was extremely healing. It was after our third miscarriage, and Patrick's family and my family went out to a child loss Mass in a nearby parish. And that was really the first time I was able to let it go and cry and, you know, give it to God, give it to Jesus in the Eucharist. And that was an extremely healing moment as well. So there's many ways to do it, but definitely encourage, putting it to the source and summit of our faith, tying it to that.
And we're down to just the last few seconds. How can people get the book and, really change their lives and maybe the lives of a loved one?
Sure. For others, not the dad, a simple "I'm sorry" and a hug can be enough. No over explanation or anything like that. And for the dads, you're not alone. There's healing available. There's healing that's possible. And if our book can be any consolation, please, it's at Ave Maria Press. And if they go on to the Ave Maria Press website, it's also Amazon, but at the Ave Maria Press website, if they put in the code SUPPORT20, they can get 20% off the book. That's Ave Maria Press.
Respect Life Radio is produced by Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of Denver. And remember, you can listen to all of our shows at respectliferadio.com.